So with that, I call forward our brother Ian for this introduction. Thank you, Brother David. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
Well, here we are. Second Timothy 2, verse 4. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. I think those are wonderful words of encouragement. Not only is the apostle talking about, you know, the crown of righteousness, he's saying it's available to all that love the Lord's appearing. I think it's just wonderful words that we keep in mind as we are in our session today. All right, so our overview of this last section of the last letter recorded by the Apostle Paul. So the first section really deals with faith. It's going to be challenged by error, unfortunately. He gets into the middle section. Paul has finished his course. He's completed the work. And then Paul's final thoughts about his friends and his enemies. He lays it out for us in this last section of 2 Timothy chapter 4. So that's kind of the overview of what we're going to be getting into. There's a couple of thought questions for us. Because in our session today, we're going to be dealing with, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And just a couple of questions that we want to ask ourselves. What does it mean to love the Lord's appearing? And how do we do that? What does it mean to love the Lord's appearing? And how do we do that? And the second thing is how does Paul say we should occupy our time? So those are some thoughts that we want to give our attention to as we go to our sessions today. Well, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's the last letter, as we said, by one of the greatest servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, to his son in the truth, Timothy, whom we've really come to get to know probably better than we've ever gotten to know him this week, save those who probably compiled the book before. And Paul's about to die. It's the sentence of death by Nero, and he has one final letter that is at least that we have recorded in the scriptures. It's his final message. What would your final message be to your greatest friend in the truth, your greatest companion in the truth? He's got one last thing to say. Have you thought about how you'd compose that? What would you do? Where would you start? What would you put in it? Everything's got meaning to it. You're closing it off. Your life's about to end. You know that very soon the sentence of death is going to come on you. What would you do? Well, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." What an incredible thing for the apostle to be able to say. Would that we could ever say something like that at the end of our life. Now, let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I want us to get a sense of what it might be like for Paul as he is at the close of his life. And at the close of his life, he's got the one last letter to Timothy. But he's got in his mind all the various pressures of the ecclesias. And he's had a lot of pressure. He's had a lot of things on his mind. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired of life itself." The Revised Standard Version says, "So utterly and unbearably crushed that we despised of life itself." You can't get anything more than that. And the apostle is going to share with us what he learned through all of that trouble and all of that trial and why he went through everything and why he's able to say these type of words, and especially when we get to verse 8. And he says in verse 9, he says, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves. He does have the sentence of death. He's now in Rome for the second time in prison, and he's about to be put to death. And he says that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. So the apostle saw the purpose of all the suffering, and all of his trials, and all the problems that he faced with the Ephesians. And the sum of it all, Paul said, is that I don't trust in myself, but I trust in God. And that really has to be one of the key messages that we take away from our study, is not to put trust in ourselves, but to put trust in God. That's why we go through what we go through in life. I remember when I was younger, something happened in the family, and I remember talking to my mom, and I said, Mom, what's that all about? And she said to me, you know what, you're young. As you get older, you'll see later on the troubles that happen in life. And I really have come to appreciate that. And when I was younger, life was really fantastic. It's still wonderful, don't misunderstand me, but you start to have a lot more pressures, a lot more challenges in life. And you can really appreciate what the apostle is saying. It's wise advice to us. All the pressures that he went through are really to make him not rely on self, but it relies on God. And you'll find that the more you grow in the truth, and the more challenges you face with the truth, the more you'll realize you can't do it yourself. You got to completely put your trust in God. And the sooner we can learn that when we're younger, the better we're going to be in the truth. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32, because when Paul's off the scene, this is what Timothy has to deal with. As Paul's life is closing out. He said, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So in other words, he said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. They're a ferocious bunch that challenged me in the truth in Ephesus. He said, but again, you know, if the dead rise not, he was showing the importance of the resurrection. We might as well eat and drink and be merry, because there's nothing to the truth. Of course, it says there is a resurrection. There's an absolute fact of the resurrection. And we should hold fast to that. So, as we consider in our session, Paul's in Rome. He's in prison. He's about to die. He's got one final letter. Nero is going to kill him. The Judaizers are on the rise. There's challenges within the Ecclesias. He's got one last message. He's got to get Timothy fired up in the truth. If you're trying to encourage your friend, what would you do? He's trying to get him to hold fast in the truth. He wants Timothy to understand what's really important in life. He's saying, guard it with your life. He says, preach. Make sure it continues to spread. Get that message out there. And he's going to do it by reminding him. So in 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. We read here. Now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. 2 Timothy 1:3. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. So he's trying to remind him, he's trying to rekindle things in him, he's trying to remind him what his great heritage is. So he starts off with this reminder. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, he's going to try to get him to be passionate about the truth. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, Timothy, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord,
nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be fearful, Timothy. Be passionate about the truth. Get involved. Get going. And verse 15 and 16, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, are whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he offereth fresh me, I was not ashamed of my chain. So he gives him an example of two bad examples, and he gives him an example of someone really good in the truth. So if you're writing your last letter, is that what you do? He gave an example of a negative example, and he gives an example of a positive example to follow. And then in verse 13 and 14, he says, hold fast the form of sound words. And of course, we know that that's the idea of this hygiene, this healing. Hold fast the form of healthy words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. So he's saying, Timothy, you're going through all these trials, but they're going to help us to focus on what really matters. God is trying to focus us on what really matters. So remember your heritage. Remember the things that you've learned in the truth. Hold fast to sound words. Consider the good examples that I'm giving you. Consider the bad examples I'm giving you. And hold on to the truth. So as we go into our breakout sessions now, well, let's consider that as the background. He's got one final appeal. What would you give as your final appeal to your friend in the truth?